Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd, and let me get this echo out of my ear. The stream started playing in my ear. And it's still playing in my ear. Let's open our show tonight with a prayer before we bring our guest on tonight and give Red Beckman, my co-host, a chance to get Almighty Father in heaven, we just ask you to bless this show tonight, bless our guest. And apparently I'm breaking up a little bit, so I'll start that over. I believe I finally got the echo out of my ear, too. Almighty Father, we just thank you so much for, blessing us the way that you do. Father, we read your word, and it says that you can't get good fruit from a bad tree. And it appears that that's what we've got in our federal government in Washington, D.C., and that's a bad tree. There doesn't seem to be any good fruit coming from it. So, Father, we ask that you bless our efforts to turn things around there, that we can basically cut down the tyranny and get back to the good structure of the good tree that was created by the people in our Constitution and our Republic. We ask for your blessing on that effort. Please be with our guest tonight and be with Red. Keep him healthy for us, Father. We want him around for a long time to come. And you've been keeping him strong, and we watch what you've done with him, and it's just a bit of a miracle that he's as strong as he is. And we're just thankful to have him here with us at Walls in Our Minds. I pray that our conversation tonight will glorify you, that we will talk about things and say things that will point people toward their need for you and your son, Yahshua. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So who have we got? Area code 970. Linda, is that you? Do you have a live mic?
That's me. I have a live mic. Hello there.
Hello there. Boy, I was sure glad to hear that you were going to join us tonight.
Well,
I'm hoping that go ahead, tell the folks, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself so that they'll have a little idea of why we appreciate you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Terry and Red, for inviting me on. I certainly appreciate it. I'm a paralegal. I became a paralegal in 1988. I've been most of the years on the front lines of fighting for liberty and fighting against tyranny and bringing our politicians to accountability. So my work on the front lines and as a private investigator also have taken me through, some really ugly stuff. I've seen a lot in my few years, I guess, that I've been here. And I had enough of it. I saw enough of it years ago and decided that I was going to stand up and stand out, take our politicians to task, and hold them accountable for breaking their oaths of office, for coming against the people, for the judges advocating for the banks. So with my skills, that's in the areas, my talents and expertise, I guess that's what I've done in the short. That's the short version.
Well, we don't mind you taking a little time and giving us a long version, but I'm hoping Red's going to join us here a little bit because I want an end to this conversation. I'd like to start out tonight talking a little bit about counterfeits, and particularly we started talking a little bit today about counterfeit patriots, and
right.
I'd like for Red to be able to share his story. I suspect he'll be popping here in a minute. I don't think he's got a live mic. Red, you're not with us yet.
I'm on. Can you hear me?
We hear you now. Good deal.
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, say hello.
I just heard the short version.
Okay.
Well, tell us about this barter group that you were talking about earlier, Red.
Let's see. Who was it I was talking about? Now
the NCBA or something like that.
Well, there was the National Commodity and Barter Association, and they supposedly they thought they could set up a bank, and I think they had some pretty good people involved, but I was afraid of what they were trying to do, that it was going to cause some people a lot of trouble. And it did. They set up their bank, and I told the man that was responsible for putting it together, I begged him not to do it. I said, you're going to end up with hurting a lot of people. Oh, no, this is legal. This is all legal. Well, just because it's legal if it's legal, then they don't like it, you see, the government. And of course, it really turned out to be a bad deal for a lot of people. There was people lost their property. One gentleman up in Montana that I know, I told him not to do it, but he did it. He invested $50,000, and he lost it all. It's one of the sad stories that developed over the years, and of course the government stole most of the money, and it's just a bad story. It's just a real story, you know, tough story. It's bad history. However, we can know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they were more right. NCBA was—they were so much more right than the government, because the government hasn't done anything right for a long, long time. It's been—I've been around quite a while, and you go back to World War II, and of course the Depression. I'm convinced. After reading what Henry Ford had to say about Satan's chosen people, and then of course I gave you some information, Terry, about the Viagra fellow that built all the airplanes and such, and what a track record that man had in the 20s and the 30s.
Edward Lawson.
Alfred Lawson, you got the name right. I figured you'd know who it was. I was searching for the name, and I know it so well. But we had Father Coughlin back there, and they were, you know, a lot of people say, well, old Red Beckman, he's been at it for 40 years or better, and they figure I'm an old-timer. I'm not an old-timer. Henry Ford and Alfred Lawson and Father Coughlin and, oh, there's a whole bunch of them that predated me by quite a bit. And most of them paid a pretty high price for their, for speaking out. And, of course, it's just been a natural for me, I think, to be one to speak out. I grew up in a lot of my growing up in the 30s and the tough times, and of course now, you see, at the time we didn't know what was causing that depression. We didn't have the answers to it, but now, of course, I can give you the answers real quick. And I won't do it right now, but I'll tell you, I had my first war with the IRS in 1957. I got out of the military, the service, in December of 52. And I immediately went to work in the woods in the logging thing, and I became a contract logger. And I had a crew and all of that, and I had a confrontation with the IRS in 57. And, of course, it didn't last long. I won that one. I made sure they understood that I was not going to be a pushover and all that. And at that time, they figured that they better leave me alone. And they left me alone till 1963. And that time, of course, it took a couple of years get that one resolved. I had about $450 or so was coming back, or should have gotten back, and they didn't want to pay it. And I, it was a long, drawn-out thing for 2 years, and they finally had to send me my money. They had to give me my money. And they left me alone then until 1973, 4, or 5. Along in there, I was running my own business. And, boy, right from the beginning, I knew that they had their sights on me. They had they were going to try to – of course, I had been speaking out. I was not a happy camper in the military back there in the Korean War. I saw a lot of waste. I saw a lot of inefficiency. I saw a lot of corruption. I saw a lot of political influence that was wrong. And so when I come out of the service, I was not a happy American with what our government was up to. So my resistance to this system has been pretty much from the day I got out of the service. When I was logging, we had to deal with the Forest Service, and that was a problem. And they were already at that time, they were becoming a problem. And so I've been around it a long time, and now here we are. People didn't listen to me for a long time. And probably I was not saying it right or whatever. But today, we've got a different ball game. And like I've said on these talk shows and such recently, we have a different audience today than we had just even 1 year ago. People are getting angry. And I hear this about the people angry at the immigrants, the aliens coming in like a flood, and people are standing up, and some of them are worried about running into federal troops and everything else, but people are standing up and saying, no, we've had it with the federal government, and it's going to stop, and it's going to stop here. So that's, I'm an optimist. Terry, you know I'm an optimist. I've always been an optimist because we serve a king, and he's coming back someday in the future here, and I don't know when and how. But the prophet in the Old Testament forecast a lot of this, or several prophets. And the one of them, he said the government would be on his shoulders. And so I'm anxious to get to that day.
Red.
Yep.
When you were talking to those guys with the NCBA, one of the things that you warned them about was that the minute they opened that thing up, that there would be somebody to infiltrate it.
And I told them, I said, when you open the door, there'll be an infiltrator in there, and there was. And they had a lady, but she wasn't a lady. I guess she proved that, and she kept all the records, the IRS. She kept copies of everything, and the IRS had everything, and that's why so many people got hurt so bad, because they, put their trust in this new bank, and it would be they were trying to make it an independent bank, and of course it didn't work because the government, well, the bankers, the big bankers, they weren't going to allow any little upstart come along and interfere with their business. And, boy, I'll tell you, that infiltrator in there, that was big trouble.
Well, Linda, you've witnessed a lot of this infiltration. You've watched some phony patriots operate out there. You want to share a little bit about that and kind of bring it forward to, what we're seeing today?
Well, we're up against a criminal
Red.
Syndicate.
Red?
Yeah.
Red?
Yeah.
I asked Linda the question.
Oh.
Well, that's all right. I have watched it. I've been involved, like I said before, on the front lines of Patriot Organization, Patriot Freedom Movement, whatever you want to call it, since 1988. And I have seen people come and go. I've seen arguments come and go. I have seen organizations get infiltrated and split up. And watched core groups of people be torn apart because one or two people come in and they pretend as if they have the answers using bogus arguments. And I'll just say some of the arguments. They're the draft from 25 years ago. They're the pet land patents from 25 and 35 years ago. They're the EFTs that have recently resurfaced, the liens and the tracer flags from 25 years ago. So we saw that all a long time ago, and we're witnessing it again today. But as what happened, the people won't listen today as to what happened back 20 and 25 years ago. We knew people back then that went to prison, and some of them are still sitting in prison, and others have disappeared that we don't even know about. But organizations, when you're really active and you're really making things happen and educating our public officials and moving hard and heavy and moving mountains and making things seriously happen in a good way, somebody will always be there to break it up, to agitate everyone, get people agitated. They work like an agitator in a washing machine until the organization's broken up and the very core group. So I've seen it over and over again. We've got, we have seen charlatans here that call themselves patriots that I watched 20 years ago. I should have been on my toes because I knew something was wrong 20 years ago. But, you know, you get busy and things and you don't pay attention, and you just get down to business and get to work. Well, and I have recently seen, I don't know if there has been an actual change over the last couple of years, if some of these people haven't gone to the other side, or if they have such big egos that they think that they're the leaders and the freedom movement is theirs, and don't, you know, they don't want anybody else in the way. But they are adamant, I have watched this happen, they're adamant that other people in the Patriot movement that are young, you know, they're novices in what we're doing and what we have been doing. I have seen these people, these charlatan patriots, take those people and lead them in the wrong direction with, you know, like I said, like the EFTs and the liens and the land patents, the silly arguments that and that aren't real and true. And also not giving them those tools as tools to use instead of real legitimate tools to have in their fishing box. And so I've watched over and over again people be, like I said, be given the wrong material, so they're doing the wrong thing, and then to get them to come out of that mindset with those blinders on is a really hard thing to do. However, a lot of times it's good that they have to wade through that, because when they get to the other side of the Patriot garbage and they get to the truth, they'll look back and know what a lie looks like, and they'll recognize it the moment it comes in front of them. So yes, I have witnessed that over and over, and like I said, I've witnessed a lot of it. It's getting worse over the last couple of years, and which just shows me and tells me that we're at a place at such a crucial crossroads that they're beefing up everything that they can to and everything that they can do to get people running off in the wrong direction. And if we had all of their energy, the patriots that are moving in the wrong direction that don't realize it, if we had all of that energy and we could harness that and turn it into a good positive direction with educating our public servants locally and everybody having the same toolbox and coming together as close-knit organizations rather than arguing about juvenile party designations, then we would be unstoppable, you know, insurmountable. There's nothing that we couldn't accomplish. But they would have it that we argue and fight, and that also that they send in people to infiltrate groups that cause them to break up. Or they become so weak, they sit and they're not active. They might have meetings, but they're not active. They're not actually stepping out there and putting themselves on the line and doing anything in a really good, positive, active direction where they're actually making things happen. So I've seen a lot of that too. They become so fearful and so scared. You know, this is a time in our country that it's exciting. There's nothing fearful about it. We don't have anything to fear. Our father told us, fear no man. So there's such a fear tactic, and this hyper sensation of these things that are going to happen in FEMA camps and everything else. You know what? It might come to that, but is it a scary thing? We're not supposed to be scared. It shouldn't scare us. We should be able and willing. In fact, we should be so owning the power and authority of the kingdom of heaven that nothing can touch us, and we know it. That's where we should be. We're children of the Most High. And so, yeah, the infiltration has just been, they're beefing things up. But if you look at why, you know, we can understand that. The Republic is in the pangs of death. This country was founded on. So it's in the pangs of death, and we're nearing total organ failure or total system shutdown. So what happens after the heart stops beating, right? It's a death twitches set in, but the body can still be brought back to life, even after the death twitches, even up to an hour or 2 hours. But that's where we are in this country. We're here, and we have to resuscitate the body politic. And the only way that we can do that is knowing who we are, right? So we give a little chest, a couple of chest compressions, and we're good, right? So, but we're here, and we need to stand on the power and authority of the kingdom of heaven as children of the Most High. The problem is the infiltration by the government and the infiltration into the churches that have taught people to sit back and just wait to be raptured. Well, you don't have to do anything, and you don't even have to know anything if you're sitting on the bleachers, you know, but and you just sit and wait to be raptured. But the question is then, if you're sitting on the bleachers, what do you have to be saved from? You're not doing anything except for hoo-ha and roo-ron with your little pom-poms over there waiting to be raptured. So the churches are need to be held accountable, and these people need to stand up and start telling the truth. So, the infiltration has just absolutely happened everywhere. You see people sitting back doing nothing after infiltrators have come in and ruined things, or there's people that have ruined it for the rest of us, or there's people that have infiltrated groups and created so much grief and discontent that they make us all look like a bunch of bananas. So infiltration happens in so many ways, but if you don't see people bringing each other together, and you see that they're trying to in other places, there's always somebody keeping you from everybody else, that's questionable. So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Well, let me bring a concept forward here that should help people in all of these circumstances, whether it's in a patriot group or an activist group or even in a church. What I've witnessed is that at the very beginning of each of these ideas, not in all cases, but in most of the cases, the idea was had good and sincere people who started them, who really wanted to do something in a good way. They really wanted to make a difference. They wanted to be active. They didn't want to sit on the bleachers, so they started something. And then this grassroots effort got destroyed by the infiltration and somebody coming in and trying to run things from a top-down basis. If you look at the way that our militias, our colonial militias, were originally created and the way that they were organized and the way that they're supposed to be done today, it is a completely grassroots organization run from the bottom up. The people, their voice is more important than any one person, and instead of just taking orders from somebody from the top, that the people that elect who their officers are. And the same thing is kind of happened in these churches where they've gotten into these organized groups, ecclesiastical groups, where they form these organizations that oversee a group of churches instead of letting those churches work on an autonomous basis and letting a local group of elders run those churches. They bring in a pastor even, and the pastor comes out of a seminary that's been infiltrated and taught, you know, dumbed down basically with a lot of Jesuit propaganda that's been put into even the evangelical seminaries. So again, the churches are now run by a top-down organization instead of from the grassroots up. But you look at groups like Restore America Plan. Some of the people that started that thing are friends of mine. And once they saw that these other people came in, like Tim, whatever his name is, and Sam Kennedy, and those guys began to work it top down and started, you know, changing the original concept, the good people walked away because they didn't want to have anything to do with the lies that were being told. And that seems to be a pattern that I keep watching time and time and time again. Good people will start something, infiltrators come in, start to do a top-down control of it, and then it falls apart, or people get into trouble, or people go to jail, all sorts of things. You look at the National Liberty Alliance today with John Durash, who I would love to give him the benefit of the doubt, believe that he's trying to do something good, but I can't I can't accept that anymore because I'm watching him continuing to lie to people when he's been told, he's been informed that the information he put out is wrong, and good people have tried to talk to him, and he isn't listening. He only wants to hear himself talk. So that organization is being controlled from the top down instead of from the bottom up, and the information being fed to the people out there is wrong. So now they're wasting their resources. They're wasting their time. They're beating the head against the wall. They're not going to get anywhere with the process, and some of them may ultimately get into real trouble. Is that a pattern you've watched also?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen a lot of good people. In fact, I'll tell you what, over the last couple of years, from what I've seen, it wasn't just last October, November, where I was ready to pack everything in and just say, you know what, you want it so bad, have it. But, you know, Father wouldn't let me do that. He said, I gave you a 7-year reprieve, now go get to work. But, yes, I've watched that also. Many times, good people. There's another lady here in the county where I live. She was really, really active. She was pulling together people. She was on top of it. She was another frontliner. She was making things happen, moving and grooving. And people went in like they were the authority and took over in a way, or made her feel significant, where she won't even return anyone's calls. But I don't think she realized what happened, because she trusted this guy and a couple other women so much. She trusted them so much that I don't think she realized who these people are. So do we see that? Absolutely we do. Like I said, I've even felt like it myself, where I've just gone, you know what? I can't tolerate this type of behavior. I can't think like this. I can't be around this. It's such a negative. And there's always, you know, they're always trying to bring you down. So you know, the groups that I'm involved with are solid. They are awesome, good, solid people. And we all know that we have to watch for the first indication of somebody trying to agitate. So we watch for that. We watch for it, and all of us are on our toes. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen to us, but I would hope not, because we're all, you know, like I said, good, solid people on our toes. We know what to watch for. And there has been one guy that has actually come into one of the groups and got a hold of the president and started talking about someone else. Well, he, you know, there's just that little foothold that he could get in trashing this other guy, when what he was saying wasn't even true, and we got to the crux of it. So, you know, is when I looked into it a little bit and I found out, you know, who this guy was, and this is what he does, is goes from one group to the next causing trouble, then I let everybody know that, and just to be on guard. So nobody's had any contact with him since. But is this going to happen? Absolutely. And the good, solid people that started it, is what they'll try to do is beat you down and wear you down and wear you down and wear you down until you just say, you walk away. But if we recognize what the truth looks like right out of the chute, we won't tolerate it. We'll see it immediately, we'll recognize it, and we'll get rid of it. We'll throw it out like the trash, and when you take out the trash out of your house, you'd never take it back in.
Well, that's an interesting thing that I've observed, too, and I'll throw this out as another means for people to identify these counterfeit people, if you will. It seems like the infiltrators frequently use what you would normally find in dysfunctional behavior. Let's say you've got somebody who's reactive. I always compare them with a proactive person, because proactive people will come in, know what they need to do, and go about doing it, and they will never do anything generally to disrupt the production of the team. But a reactive person always wants to draw attention to themselves, and they do that by finding things to react to. And if there's not something to react to, they stir it up, just like you just said about starting to talk behind somebody's back, playing the divide-and-conquer game, creating an unsatisfactory work environment where one may have otherwise existed, but they don't let that stand. They always want to pull people in on what's known in the in psychobabble world as a victim persecutor cycle. They don't care where they pull you onto that cycle, whether you're being a victim, a persecutor, or the persecuted. If they can convince you you're in one of those positions, you're going to end up being in each one of those positions before it's over with. And that's mm-hmm. the way they work. I saw that happen at the Continental Congress in 2009. We had several infiltrators that were there. And what they did was they went and found people who were a little bit dysfunctional, and they sucked them in on that victim-persecutor cycle and got them working in an adversarial position against other delegates. And as a result of that, they kept stirring that pot, and it just cut the production of the team wherever they were. And it was really an interesting observation. But I've watched this since then. I've seen it right here in Colorado, where we've had reactive people. Some of them were infiltrators. Some of them were not. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got this going on in those that have tried to organize militia, a well-regulated militia here in Colorado. A lot of those meetings have been called by people that we knew were FBI informants, and all of the really good people never showed up because they knew who was organizing the meeting.
Wow.
But we see that pattern of the reactive person. They're not always reactive. Sometimes they're infiltrators deliberately disrupting the production of the team. And I think that's kind of a good thing to watch for right there. If you've got a good team working and somebody starts disrupting that team, stabbing people in the back, talking behind their back, creating problems where one didn't exist previously, I believe that's a good indicator you've got a counterfeit on your hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. You know, it's really interesting. There's this guy that, you know, he pretends to be a patriot. He puts himself out there as if he's a patriot. I've known him for a really, really long time. Now, does he believe in the principles of liberty? I think so. But he also uses the kingdom of heaven and the freedom movement, the Constitution, liberty, independence. He uses that as a front to put himself out there, and really it's all about making himself famous. And I know so many stories from him about how he's used people to get there. But it's really interesting because I'm just, you know, I work. I pay attention to what I'm doing and I work. I don't really look at anything else that other people are doing, and I don't pay attention really until all of a sudden something smacks me across the head and I was like, wow, this guy's a liar. I've known him for years and years and years, but he's really a liar, right? So I started paying attention then, I started watching everything that he ever said that he was going to do. He never did. And multiple times we lost loads of money because of him. But it was really interesting. One day I was researching and doing just some intense research into the foreclosures and the mortgage-backed securities and the trust and the AIG and how that whole thing worked prior to the crisis. And so it was really interesting. I was sharing a lot of these details with him. I had literally done, I don't even know how many hundreds, thousands of hours of research. I studied it for a year and a half. But he told me one day, he said, if you ever have anything that you want to tell this other man that was also on the front lines, he's over on your side of the mountain, he said, if there's anything that you ever want to tell him, just go through me. And, you know, my slow brain to things like stuff like this, I said, oh, okay, you know, I trusted him. So I never went to this guy and I never told him anything. I just told it all to him. Well, come to find out, you know, I walked away from this guy and threw him away back in October. I just said, that's enough. You're, you know, because he told me, he said, get out of the way. This is my territory. And is what he meant, not Colorado, is what he meant was fighting or pretending to be on the front lines of liberty was his territory. This is all his. He's the smart one, and nobody knows anything but him. I don't know if he's an infiltrator, but I can... I don't know if he's
friends over at Crusade Radio's phone. Guys,
I'll disconnect and reconnect here.
Okay. That was Jim Cook and the guys over at Crusade Radio. They are, and Doug Millar should be there too. Doug,
nice.
you've had a live mic, so you can certainly jump in this conversation. And Red, you're welcome to jump back in here as you want to too. So I'm just letting you know they're there. Linda, go ahead.
Okay. Well, so I guess is what I'm getting at is that I don't know if this guy is an infiltrator, but I can tell you one thing. He's so power hungry. He's so insignificant in himself that he will do anything to be famous. And that's all he wants. Like I said, I've got loads of stories that he told me himself of where he's used people to help get him on the radio and to make him famous. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. And so is he an infiltrator? I think he's, and I think there are other ones like that. They may not necessarily be infiltrators, or they might be, but they want to be known so badly that they will do anything to get there, including getting everybody else creating out of the way, creating grief and discontent so that they're the ones in the front line. And again, he's another one that didn't want anybody to have a toolbox. You know, when I was wanted to do teach them, you know, paralegal 101, how to do legal research and legal writing, he didn't want that to happen. He was really adamant he didn't want that to happen. So he taught a class that had nothing to do with legal research. And the class was so really pathetic that some of us that have been in the legal world for a long time, we looked at it and we felt sorry for everybody that had paid their money to listen to him. I mean, we really felt sorry for them. But so anyway, after, you know, finally... you can get to a point where you have where you, not only you, but the patriot community has been so wronged that we have to stand up and call it on the carpet and call it like it is and say and name these people by name and not allow this to happen. We cannot tolerate being a lackadaisical country anymore.
Well, and if that happened to you again, now that you've experienced that, you would identify it much quicker, would you not?
Oh, absolutely.
And not allow it to disrupt the production of the team?
Absolutely. No, so, you know, I hate to have to be on my toes like that all the time because I'm so busy in the legal field. I hate to have to be that way because I've got to be on my toes on the cases that I work on. But you bet. Now, you know, I'm on my toes almost to the point that I'm suffering shell shock. You know, I mean, that's almost how I feel, not to make light of the situation, but that's almost how I feel. Like I'm looking over my shoulder all the time going, all right, when are we going to be attacked? But I guess if that's how we have to be, you know, like I said, we're in the death pangs. The Republic is about to, its heart is about to stop beating. And so since we know that we don't have much longer in what we know right now, it's going to get really crazy. So yes, we have to be on the lookout and on our toes more than we ever have in our lives.
Well, the interesting thing, again, for me on this, and Red has brought a lot of this stuff forward about the counterfeits, and we see it everywhere we look. We see a counterfeit education system. We see counterfeit tax-exempt foundations. We see counterfeit government. We see counterfeit judiciary. Everywhere you look, there's these counterfeits, including the tax system itself. As Red was saying on a call earlier today about it being a counterfeit tithe. It's really a tithe to Satan that's counterfeit of the tithe of Scripture. And but the thing that is, I think, the hardest for people to recognize is how deep this goes and how many they've got out there, how many people they are paying to disrupt things even on Internet, in the blogs, for example. You know, we get these people showing up in our chat rooms on Blog Talk Radio even.
Wow.
Look at Pat Shannon has written really good about this. He, in his book, The Two Oswalds, that he put out here last year, approaching the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, was a great example in that they developed both of those guys through the CIA over a period of their lifetime. And when it came time for them to be used as patsies, as a cover story for what really happened to Kennedy, there were two of them who were functioning in parallel to one another, and they were not working directly together, but they had crossed paths, but their lives were parallel, and they had both been by the CIA for their entire life since before college. So these people are out there all around us all the time, and they're out there by the thousands, maybe tens of thousands. So they've been on payroll, and they've been on conditioning their brains. Many of them have been disassociated in their personalities from the time they were little children. So they're conditioned to act like one person during the day and another person by the night and another person if the trigger is pulled on them. So they're out there. You may have known somebody for 2 or 3 years and thought they were really great people because you saw them in a particular environment. The next thing you know, they're just like the guy you're talking about that you've known for years. And like you said, I don't know, you know, you don't really know whether he was, you haven't confirmed apparently whether or not he was an infiltrator or not. But either way, it served to disrupt the team. And these people are experts at it. They've been conditioned at it. They've been trained for years at it. And they've been put into our communities to live just like the guy next door until they need him. And so we've got to be very aware of this. Red, what comment do you have on this at this point?
I was just thinking of a situation back in Montana back in the 80s and the early 80s. This rancher from up north and east of Billings, Montana, he came in and he had heard about what we were doing and one thing and another, and so he came and told me this story about how he was about 70, I think, something had happened that was really strange and to him, and he wanted me to know what had happened. And he had had a confrontation with a highway patrolman that got totally out of hand. And he had his wife, and he had his daughter-in-law, and he had a grandchild, his son's family that had health problems, and so he was taking the little guy and his mother and such, and they were on their way to Billings, Montana, over 100 miles away, and they had this confrontation, and this guy, this old timer, he was born and raised right there on that ranch, and so he said that he went to different attorneys. He wanted to file an action. He was not about to let this go without a reaction. And so different ones said, well, you better go to the FBI. So he went to the FBI right there in Billings, Montana, in the federal courthouse, and he went to the U.S. Attorney's Office first, and they said, well, you got to have an FBI investigation. And so he went to the FBI, and he walked into their office, and the guy wanted to know what they wanted, what he was there for, and he told him, and he says, oh, I said, why didn't you go to the FBI right up here in your county? Now, this is a sparsely populated county with less than 1,000 people in the whole county, at the most 1,500. And this guy told me, he said, I just laughed at him. I said, we don't have no FBI up there. He said, you sure do. He said, you got two of them. And so he said, well, who are they? He knew everybody in the county pretty well. And here he had, there was two ranchers in that ranch country county, and they were undercover FBI people right there in rural Montana, where you just don't have anything happening where you need an FBI man. And my friend got to be a pretty good friend of him, and he knew the ranchers, and they, you know, they were neighbors. And they were both paid as undercover FBI. And now we're talking about way back in the 80s. This is before Homeland Security came along. And he finally found an attorney from out of town that handled the case, and he got a settlement. The highway patrolman got fired and all, but he told me, he said, I just knew that you should know about these paid informers, undercover people, that the government has all over the country. They're all over. I learned something from him, and I over the years, I had a lot of people that said, oh, you've got to form an organization. You've got to get an organization going here. You've got a good thing going. You're a good speaker, and you're this and that, and you got something to tell the people. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to form an organization. This thing is going to be my wife and I over the kitchen table, and that's going to be it. And that's the way it is yet to this day. And we've had, over the years, we've seen, I don't know how many different outfits that have been destroyed. And I was talking to a gentleman this afternoon. He's got a client. He's in a defender's department, on federal defenders. And I told him, I said, I don't trust the government anyway. I don't trust anybody that comes along. And I told him a couple of things. He's representing, working with a case where there's been a charge, a felony charge, income tax and whatnot. And so I just told him, I said, Mister, I am absolutely convinced that if we end up with a revolution or a civil war in this country, and I said, I wrote it up in at least one of my books, that would be a sign, the evidence of failure. And I'm determined we're not going to fail. We're going to turn this thing around. With God's help, we're going to get this thing turned around. And I think that we're getting awfully close, and I think we're going to see some really great things happen. And this guy, it blew his mind when I told him this. I have told people this. For 30 years, I've been saying this. I wrote that similar to that in my first book 33 years ago, and the book is still in print. And so let's get our be optimists. let's not be we started having weekly meetings in Billings, Montana, in the summer of 1976. And we were having meetings at the Holiday Inn in their convention center every week. And we were having large audiences because I did a lot of television and radio talk things and everything, and people were really paying attention. And then we found out, and we had to quit the meetings in the early 80s. We had to quit the weekly meetings because the IRS agents were out in the parking lot taking the license plates of all the people that were coming to these meetings. And then they were scheduling them for audits and that type of thing. That's the kind of scum we're dealing with. That's the kind of, you see, that's a violation of the First Amendment, the right to assemble. Those people had a right to assemble, and the government was interfering with that right. And so it's something that's been going on a long time, and it just doesn't affect me anymore for the simple reason that I haven't given them anything that they can infiltrate. And we don't need an organization, a big organization. We don't need that. We just need people that can communicate. And today, we didn't have the internet back there, but I did hundreds of radio talk shows all over the country. I'll have to tell you this one. I had done a radio talk show on one radio station, a 50,000 watt clear channel station. Big, big audience and a lot of power. And they had about 40 employees. And I found out that one of the wheels with the IRS went out there to that station and told the management, The talk show hosts and such were kind of getting on the IRS pretty strong. Of course, I was there a guest at two or three times or more. And I was a regular, I guess. And this management level IRS man told the manager of the station, he said, "You tell your talk show people to tone it down or we'll audit everybody on your staff." And that management didn't have enough sense to get a video camera and the IRS man wanted him to call a company meeting where all the employees were there. And this guy got up there and told those employees for that radio station, "If you don't tone it down, we're going to audit every one of you." And that's that station manager, I got on his case when he told me this. I said, "Why didn't you videotape that? Why didn't you record that? I'd have loved to have had that." But he never even thought of it, you see. And so that's how one of the ways that they'll do, that's one of the extremes that they'll go to control the media.
Doug Millar, you have an open mic. Did you want to say something? I know you've been looking into all this infiltration and the way that people have been conditioned and these agent provocateurs that have been amongst us for a long time. Doug, did you want to address that?
Yes. In fact, I'd like to go back a little bit, Red. You talked about the National Commodity and Barter Association. As I'm sure Terry knows, it was founded right there in the suburbs of Denver, and I had the privilege of meeting the founder back in 1980 after I bought an exchange enterprise barter franchise. And in my first year of operation there in Colorado Springs, where I was based, I had the best, highest volume of any new franchise in the entire nation. Because I understood the importance of giving people incentives to make big money if they were on my staff. And so I just want to mention that. I never got involved in the National Commodity and Barter Association, but I was very impressed with what they had going. And, of course, we knew that the IRS was going to come after the barter companies. But anyway, I've been involved way back there. And so I just appreciate Red bringing that up. Now, as far as the mind control, we know this is going on. In fact, all of you, I'm sure, know of the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. The author of that was a CIA officer in Vietnam War, working directly with Bill Colby. And so I give this background because of the fact that we brought, in 1994, a friend of mine gave me $1,000, a real estate developer, and so I could invite John DeCamp to come from Nebraska to Anchorage, Alaska, and speak. And my my nephew, Mike Young, who's on the line, he drove from Fairbanks, Alaska, over 400 miles to come down here to spend the day with John DeCamp for breakfast, lunch, and then the evening event. And he is a truth seeker. My nephew was born in Fairbanks, and Mike Young is very successful. He's invested in the Fox TV up there and another station, and then he sold those off to buy controlling interest with a couple of his friends of one of the three big TV stations up there. And so the bottom line is that he's been following this not as closely as I have, because I've been doing it full-time for 22 years, but I, of course, am considered one of the national authorities on CIA creating mind control and sharing candidates and people going in to kill children in schools. And when that didn't work, then they started sending children in to kill children. So their goal, of course, is to confiscate all our guns. And people, I remember 22 years ago, at the time, there was only, there was 200 million guns in America and 80 million households. Today, because of all the CIA creating these mind-control people to go around killing strangers and people they work for, et cetera, and now there are 500 million guns in America. Just in the last 22 years, it's increased by 150%. And so I hope that we can, just during the second hour, that we can have my nephew on to discuss not only his book, but also the fact that he's been working with many people of national and international prominence regarding finance and everything. And he is 1/8 Alaska Indian. And I, so we'll be, during the second hour here, Terry, we'll be able to have him as a guest.
He can certainly get involved in the conversation. I don't know if we want to go there right now. I'd like to take the conversation right now. Linda, you know, one of the ways that they do the counterfeit stuff is by humanitarian fronts, like they're doing something good. And we've got that kind of going on right now with all these busloads of immigrant children that they're hauling into to California. Have you followed that story at all, Linda?
You know, I have followed it a little bit and seen that, you know, they're planting them, taking them by the busloads and planting them in other cities. I don't, I haven't gotten deeply into it to see what it's all about, but I'll tell you, quite a long time ago, I had lived outside of the country for quite a few years. I was living in South America. And when I came back to the country, I was still with my parents. And it was on the front page of the newspaper frequently about the loads of people coming over the border that were filled with diseases that this country has never seen, including white leprosy. So that's quite scary, and I think that that's probably what we're looking at. But I'll tell you something that a picture that I'm beginning to see here is that with all of these illegals, with what, where, you know, where they've come from and who they are, and they have been let to come into this country on purpose, obviously, or they wouldn't be here. And I believe that we're going to see another Fast and Furious in this country. I think that we're going to see another Iran-Contra scandal. where they put all the weapons out and allowed those people to create grief and discontent in their own countries. Well, that wouldn't exactly happen here. Other than the police force, I don't think we're going to, you know, we're not going to see even the police coming against us and just wiping us out. I don't believe that. I think that weapons will be put in the hands of possibly these people, and that might be the big picture that we're looking at. I think we're going to see chaos in the streets here really quickly. I could be completely wrong. I don't like to use fear tactics. I don't even like to think that because I know in the end we're going to win, but there's going to be a lot of chaos before we get there. So, but that's the picture that I see emerging from this is quickly. It might be another year, it might be 2 years, but I think that they will be armed just like other countries have been armed in order to create chaos. So, and the bankers come in into the government, infiltrate, and then they have control of the country. So, you know, we've seen that in quite a few places, and I, you know, like I said, I could be completely off base. I think that's what we're looking at.
Terry, this is Jim Cook. I've been studying this the last few days, and here's what I found out. As of today, Guatemala's president, Mexico's president, have agreed to use and give the people passes through Guatemala to the United States, and trains are being used from the border of Guatemala up to the United States. On top of this, these people are not just coming from Mexico, and they're not just kids. There are people from West Africa where the Ebola outbreak is very contagious and uncontained, and they're coming from that area up into the United States. On top of the CIA sources state that there are Middle Easterners from Hamas infiltrating in large quantities and setting up safe houses in the United States. On top of this, and this is just the crux of what's going on. On top of this, the infectious diseases are including dengue fever, Ebola, scabies. And the scabies in the children is used because they're highly contagious through contact. They will spread the disease faster. Now, during the war in World War II, the Japanese used insects and tested it on American citizens to see about spreading diseases. That's where that came from. But to get back to what they're doing, on top of this, they reported that our electrical grid in the United States has now contracted a virus, which they say they can't control. And on top of this, they're saying that there are nukes being brought into the country. As we all know, they're probably already here. So it looks like what they're trying to do is trigger all these things to coincide at the same time. But on top of this, something of a natural occurrence is happening. First, Fukushima. Well, that's not natural. That's man-made. But Fukushima is killing all the wildlife, and the radiation is bad in California. And on top of this, there are huge seismic readings coming from Yellowstone, and I saw a video today of a National Guard meeting where the officer in the meeting was telling them that they would have to prepare for an emergency of the caldera blowing. So, and on top of all this, on the world scene, we have Israel getting hit with 40 rockets a day and then moving into the strip on the where Hamas is, and it looks like they're scaling up for World War II, and also they're beginning to move for arrests in Europe, both of the Queen of England and the Queen of Beatrice of the Netherlands, for satanic cultural ritual abuse of children and sacrifices, and this is coming prevalent. So there's being a squeeze put on to the top. And at the same time, they're giving them orders to trigger all these events in the United States. And people have spotted UN vehicles being transported around the United States to different destinations. And the cover story is that these are being built in plants in the South, and they're being shipped to the United Nations out of the country. But that's just the cover story. So it looks like all these events are culminating all at the same time. to trigger an emergency from any one or all of these events at the same time, including the pandemic. And this is why they're shipping the kids all over the nation. Now, here's what happened because they're shipping the kids. They're pulling all the people, the border patrol, off the borders, leaving the border wide open to transport the kids over the country. Then on top of it, ICE has been given the ability, instead of arresting the aliens and taking them back, they were told they're only supposed to investigate violent crimes that these people have committed inside the country. So in a nutshell, that's what's going on, and militias have joined, of course, Texas to patrol both Texas and Arizona border. So in a nutshell, it's a bleak observation, but it's a very informed one in all the things I've been investigating in the last few days. Over to you, Beth.
If I could just say, you know, it is bleak. I can see, we can see the big international agenda. We can see, take all those puzzle pieces and put them together. We can see the international agenda with the world bankers that created the IUCN in 1948 with the World Congress. We can see what the agenda has been. The New World Order has actually been here since 1948 or probably prior to that. But I take it from the date of 1948 when the World Congress was created. But through that, they created all the countries came up with a common enemy that every country and the people would all want to fight. That common enemy was global warming. So we see the EPA, we see them, the government, the feds, wanting to come in and take control of the water. They're taking control of the land. They're shutting down our public land. Ultimately, the end goal is the water, because that is absolute control of the people. We can't live without it. So we see, you know, Jim, like you said, we see all these things taking place. And if we look at the big picture of it, I believe that it's a Luciferian agenda. He wants complete control. He wants everybody worshiping him. He doesn't want us on the land. He's created every system that he's created through man is counterfeit of what our Creator has set up. So like I said, all of those systems were designed for failure, and that organ failure is happening right now as we speak. But that's the good news. So it's not so bleak. I don't think that we have to look at it as a sad thing, because it's a good thing. With that, with the organ failure of that ugly system that we don't want, on the other hand, we look at the other hand, and we're going through birth pangs. So we've got the death woes on one side, and on the other hand, we have birth pangs of the kingdom being put into place and coming in into it, and it will come into its fullness. That's the good news. So, you know, what did our king say? He said, when they say, where do you get your peace and where do you get your happiness from, be prepared to tell them. Okay, so that's the good news. We can be, there's no sadness that should be about, you know, the bleak and the death throes that this country is facing, because the baby that's fixing to be born is just, we can't even begin to fathom it.
This is Red. I think I need to mention the abortion thing that came on in 73. Since then, there has been some say about 60 million abortions in the United States, and the Bible tells me that the blood of the innocents cries out from the ground to our Heavenly Father, the Creator, and demands judgment. Now, the planning for all of this, you see, the immigration that we have experienced getting prior to this invasion of all the kids and these thousands that are coming across the border. You see, those abortions, that destroyed our potential workforce. And that's why they needed to bring in these imports of aliens to pick up, where there weren't enough of us Americans to do the work. Now, we destroyed, a whole workforce because 73 to now, of course, those people that were aborted then would be in their best, most productive years, and we don't have them. So they brought in, they got the employers, the people needing help, they got them to go along with this importation of aliens. And that was part of the infiltration, that was part of the counterfeit, that these people came in and they were the satanic counterfeit to what we should have had, but we had murdered the ones, the workforce that we should have had. And so the fact that our Heavenly Father is hearing the cries of that innocent blood crying from the ground tells me that he is going to make a big difference here. He's going to make something happen. And of course, I've had people, they call and they say, well, you're doing a good job, keep it up and this and that. And I say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm just watching, seeing what's happening. And I say, well, you know, I'm just an old cat skinner, truck driver, and a logger, and all. And I saw something happening that way back there, and it didn't look good and all. And I made myself available. Now, those people that are just watching on the sidelines, they better make themselves available. And so that they've got a record to stand on before this Messiah King of ours comes. When he comes, he's going to judge these people. What did you do? Did you sit back and do nothing? Did you think Red Beckman and Terry Dodd and these different patriots, did you think they were going to do it all for you? These people... There's millions of them out there, and of course the failure of the churches. I have to explain all the time about the federal income tax and how that it's a counterfeit to God ordained 10% tithe that we were recommended. It was a voluntary tithe, and. Our churches have turned out to be working for the government. The preachers and the hierarchy of your denominations, they love the Internal Revenue Service. They love the income tax, and they aren't going to say anything bad about the income tax. They say, oh, we got to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And that is a violation of the, good thinking, as far as the scripture is concerned. Caesar's been gone a long time, and his government has been gone for a long time because our Heavenly Father decided that they had to go. They were not the kind of government that he wanted, that he needed. And so anyway, I'm an optimist. I've said it over and over again, and I'll continue to say it because I know that we have a Messiah King that's going to come on the scene. And I just told a fellow this afternoon, I said, he's a public defender. I said, let me tell you something. I said, this government's going to go. It's going to be wiped out. our Heavenly Father is going to wipe this thing out just like the USSR went down in December of 1991. They said there is no creator God, and this government we have in Washington, D.C., is thinking the same kind of way and promoting the same thing. And our churches, how many of our churches are speaking up and saying, hey, we've got to stop this thing. We've got to. This is evil. This income tax has got to go. When have we had a preacher get up in the pulpit and on Sunday morning and say, Obama and the Congress and the judges are corrupt? Where and when have we had that? All he's doing is exercising the First Amendment freedom of religion. And most people think that the freedom of religion in the First Amendment says you can be a Methodist, you can be a Baptist, you can be a Mormon or a Catholic or whatever. That's not what the freedom of religion in the First Amendment's about at all. It's there so that the minister can speak out against evil government. And they're not doing it, and that makes me very, very concerned. Because I have a lot of my family that are involved in evangelical religions in particular and such, and they won't listen. But that's not my problem. It's their problem, and they're going to have to answer for it. Back to you, Terry.
Red, can I just ask you a question quick? Would you agree that resuscitating the body politic is what we have to do in this country? That's us. We're the body politic. We are the members of the kingdom of heaven, and it is a body politic, and that's us. Would you agree that that would be raising the dead? That was one thing that Yeshua came and he told us to do.
No, we're not going to raise that dead one. We don't want that dead carcass back. We want the constitutional republic that's been on the shelf for so long. We want to get it down off of that shelf and put it back in place, because I believe that our Heavenly Father, there was a lot of inspiration that came to the founders that wrote that great document, and even the Magna Carta, going back there, they had the right idea, because when the Pope found out that King John back there in 1215 had signed Magna Carta and that Magna Carta had become the law of England, the Pope in Rome was just furious, and he got on King John and he said, "You have a divine right to be king." Well, the divine right to be king didn't come from our Heavenly Father. It came from the God, the God of this earth, Satan himself. So anyway, this thing is past redemption. There's no way. And of course, this is something else too that I have brought out for many years. The most memorized, most used verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It does not say, "For God so loved mankind that he was sent the Messiah," where the Messiah was sent. He said, "For God so loved the world." This planet belongs to our Heavenly Father, the Creator. And Lucifer has tried to steal it. He's tried to take it and call it his own, and God sent his Son to redeem. You and I were made from the dust of the earth. You and I, we the people, we are integral to this planet. And when John 3:16 says he loved the world, he loved us, because we are integral to this world. We're part of this world. And God is going to redeem it. He's got a special place prepared for the old Satan and his angels. It's called the bottomless pit. And the reason why we're seeing such an outpouring of evil is because Revelation 12, it tells us that Satan, he knows his time is short. And he really comes on strong. He comes on with everything he can muster to try to defeat God's plan to bring his new world order. This new world order that the UN people and the internationalists talk about, that's the counterfeit to what our Heavenly Father is going to bring with him, our Messiah King. And so I'll shut up for now. I can't understand why more people haven't picked up on the fact that we have murdered about 60 million in the abortion clinics. That's our workforce. That's why we're short of help, you know, and so they had to murder them, and then they bring in the cheaper labor. And it was all a scheme, and it's gone back, and it goes back prior to 73, I'll guarantee you that. It goes way, way back.
Good news, Red. Lois Lerner is under arrest for you and the IRS.
Oh, my. Well.
Report on this, Jim, are you saying?
Yeah, the Congress today passed legislation to put her under arrest. This is breaking as of today. So Lois Lerner, what happened was some memos surfaced in the IRS. And, of course, there's patriots in the IRS as well as there are patriots in the FBI and all the other agencies. So when they give the orders, you know, things are going to fall apart in a heartbeat. But what happened was some emails had surfaced in the IRS. And the communications read something like, let's cover this stuff up. So now she's being brought in for obstruction of justice and contempt of Congress. So they're filing papers right now to put her under arrest. She's as good as in jail.
How about doing this,
you know? I'll tell you. How many have heard about this judge down there in North Carolina, a federal judge? He was just rambling in a case that wasn't an IRS case at all. But here's what he said. He said, and this was all in a transcript. I got a copy. I'm looking at a copy of the transcript of this case. The judge says, I will say what I think. You know, Colonel, the Colonel was the plaintiff in this case, an Army Colonel. He says, I have to tell you that there are cases where a long course of history, in fact, does change the Constitution. How about that? A long course of history does change the Constitution. And he said, and he goes on, and I can think of one instance. I believe I'm correct on this. I think if you were to go back and try to find and review the ratification of the 16th Amendment, which was the Internal Revenue Income Tax, I think if you went back and examined that carefully, you would find that that there was not a sufficient number of states to ratify that amendment. Now, and then the court goes on, and he says, and nonetheless, I think it's fair to say that it is part of the Constitution of the United States. Now, he just admitted he didn't think that it had been ratified, but he says, now I think that it is part of the Constitution of the United States, and I don't think any court would ever set it aside. Well, I've seen that. I've seen somewhere a treatise on that, and I think it was. I think I'm correct in saying the actual ratification never properly occurred. Now, I happen to be the co-author of the book, The Law That Never Was. I'm the guy that started all that process of gathering those 17,000 documents. And so I know personally what treatise he's talking about. That's the copy of the book, The Law That Never Was. And they know. I'll bet there isn't a federal judge in this United States of America that doesn't know that the 16th Amendment is, it was never ratified. It's a fraud. The income tax is built on a fraud. Now, this fellow that I talked to this afternoon, I read that to him over the phone. I said, years ago, I had to come to a conclusion back in 75. I got a copy of that tax audit guide where the commissioner of the IRS said that our tax system is based on individual self-assessment and voluntary compliance. I said, I had to come to the conclusion, where did the IRS get its power? And I told that guy this afternoon, the IRS didn't get its power from Congress. It didn't get its power from the executive branch of government. It didn't get its power from the judiciary. It didn't get its power from the Constitution. It got its power from 12 people on the jury that had had their brains damaged by all the propaganda, and they said guilty in these tax cases.
Right.
And I said, that judge had a serious conflict of interest in that case. Because he is a tax consumer. He's a beneficiary of the tax law. And he probably got a bonus for doing what he did and sending somebody to jail for income tax evasion. He probably got a bonus. This learner that just got charged with criminally, she was getting a bonus. The bureaucrats in charge of the VA hospitals were getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in bonuses for letting the veterans die without their proper medical attention.
Let's make sure we report accurately here. Jim, I'm seeing that Stockman announced that they put forth a resolution to have the sergeant at arms arrest Lois Lerner for contempt because he thought that they figured that asking the Department of Justice to do it was no more than a joke. But I don't see that that's actually passed or that she's actually been arrested. Can you address that?
Yes. The bottom line is they have the evidence now. With all the emails that were lost, they were dead in the water. And then all of a sudden, these surfaced, showing that she had complicity in destruction of the emails and to get rid of all the information, which is obstruction of justice. So, as you said, the sergeant of arms was given the information, and the process is now, because they have the proof, that if they don't do it, they will be showing that they are lawless and therefore are not abiding by the rule of law. So now, with all this bantering back and forth, and, you know, they had the articles of impeachment and information to impeach Obama. They never did it. Now they got this stuff on Lois Lerner, and it looks like they can go straight back to the White House and prove that the White House was involved. So it's moving forward. I mean, they've got to do something with it. If they don't, think of what's going to happen with the people, the ire of the people, the things happening down the border and everything else. So I think Lois Lerner is like a bone to the dog, and then everything else is just going to, you know, go back and forth with bipartisan baloney. So this is the bone to the dog.
The full House voted 2 months ago to find her in contempt. As a matter of fact, there were like 6 Democrats that joined the Republicans, and they actually voted finding her in contempt. So this is an additional resolution, and I don't know, I would imagine it's going to have to come to a floor vote before the sergeant-at-arms can act on that. Is that not correct?
Well, I would say this. I am ignorant of the workings of Congress, but I think you're dead on. I say they have to do something. because of all the stuff that's going on, and the anger of the American people is at a boiling point. And with everything else that's going on, a lot of the insiders know that, you know, the volcano in Yellowstone's gone. They know that the diseases are being spread around the country, and they know it's all emanating from the White House. So this may be part of the first domino to fall, and then tag her back to the White House and then move forward on impeachment. Now, whether that happens before they trigger an event in the United States, I don't know. But it may be a safety valve for that event not to happen. But with all the terrorists coming in through the southern border, from what we gather from the NSA and CIA, I'd have to say the trigger event will happen before Lois Lerner goes to jail. That's just my assumption.
It was reported in the New York Times that the Supreme Court has upheld the Congress's right to hold people in contempt and even imprison them. So the thinking that they don't have the authority of doing that without someone being present in the chamber, I think, is wrong. I believe that they do, in fact, have the authority to have her arrested and imprisoned. So this could be an interesting development. But again, I want to come back and ask you a question, Jim, because you really brought this forward. What happened right before the last election cycle?
Is this a trick question? I'm being facetious.
Benghazi, right?
Correct, but what I've been reading, Iraq, the events of ISIS in Iraq, the event of Obama arming those freedom fighters, the Muslim Brotherhood, who just within the last few days joined with ISIS. So now we've got a connection of treason. He's funded them. They've joined ISIS. They're saying now that the stuff in Iraq, the stuff going down in Syria, it's all connected. The events that are happening in Russia and all that is coming back to what's going on at the border. This is they're doing everything. They're pulling out all the stops to trigger this. And in the next few days, I'll think of the article that I was reading on this, and this guy has two or three parts that he's coming out linking all these things together. And I think he's, to tell you the truth, it just came out today, too, or yesterday, that there's another leaker in the NSA, and this guy has been leaking other information. So it looks like the patriots within the government have been dumping this information out to certain sources, and they're about ready to spring this on the American people so they can say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this wasn't some terrorist coming after us. This was all preordained by people in Washington and the president. You know, Terry, and you know, Red, and you know, Doug, and you know, Linda, that this is what the case is, and I know this. And a lot of Americans who were woken up for years know this, but it's the rest of the populace that I think these people are trying to shake awake in a heartbeat, and they're using their NSA connections and everything else to do it. That's what I think is the real thing. But the whole thing is, I'm going to keep on top of this story and look, because they're saying Syria, Iraq, the Iran thing, Libya, Egypt, all those things are connected to what's going now down on our border. And I got bad news that I didn't tell you about, but it's all bad news, that the Chinese Navy is sitting on our coast, our California coast, and that they were supposedly in maneuvers with the United States government. And because Russia were flying their backfire bombers close to the coast, they picked up the electromagnetic anomalies going on in Yellowstone, and they're all concerned. Putin is really concerned, because they know something big is going to happen And this was conveyed to the Chinese, who were doing exercises with the United States, all fortuitous, I might add, at the same time, and that may trigger the whole cascade of events that are going to trigger, hopefully, to the government all at one time. So there's more to come on that, and I don't have the rest of the information, but I'm sitting on top of it, and I'll try and get the link to that for you, Terry.
Well, Doug, we need to reach out to the Hawk at Able Danger and find out if they've got any information on that. What's happened with that flight out of Malaysia that disappeared? Could that be coming around about and coming back into the picture? My fear was that they were going to use that in association. But here's the thing, Jim. We're talking about counterfeits here. Identifying the counterfeits is a real challenge when you've got so many things happening at the same time. One thing we know for sure, and that is that anything and almost everything that the mainstream media tells us is a lie. It'll have a little truth in it, but when it boils right down to it, they're hiding something in almost everything they tell us. And when we're sitting here watching this now, and it's like watching a magic act, because you don't know which hand to watch. And everything is a distraction for something else. And figuring out what's at the, you know, what we really need to keep our focus on, it is like a juggling act. It's a great challenge today. We're juggling a chainsaw, an apple, and a ping pong ball here. Isn't that about what we're facing?
Well, yeah, and that's where the confusion is going to come in. I mean, keep us divided by making this thing down the border about children when they know damn well they pulled the Border Patrol off, pulled these children and others, and, you know, like the terrorists coming in. So they're dividing America. Now you got Americans going head to head, going, no, we want the children in here. We take care of the children. And the other people saying, get the immigrants out. And this has nothing to do with the children. It's a distraction, like you said. And you're right. They're keeping us distracted. Nobody's reporting on what's going on in Yellowstone. And we had, Doug knows this, they had a 7.9 earthquake, which is part of the triggering mechanism that's going off in Yellowstone off of Alaska. So they're not reporting that either. Okay, they're not reporting these tremors that are going are continually, which shows that there's magma flow. So yeah, they're getting Americans against each other while the terrorists are sneaking in and setting up safe houses. And we haven't even touched upon the 500,000 plus foreign troops in this country, Russian and otherwise, you know. And the bottom line is you got the Chinese who control the canal, the Panama Canal, and they've been shipping Chinese troops up into the United States too, because there are also Chinese coming in through those borders. So they're distracting us like the magician, like you say. It's they got to trigger it soon, because you're looking at the Queen of England and the Prince going down. You're looking at the Prince of Netherlands. You're looking at George Soros, who was involved in those satanic ritual abuse killings of children in the Netherlands. Okay, and this is it. I mean, they're pushed into a corner. And what's the next act? Oh, wag the dog, start World War III, trigger an event in America. Anything but let everybody, you know, concentrate only on them. So, yeah, you're right. But the biggest concern is they're trying to trigger it all at once. And Americans aren't going to know which way to run, which way to look, and or anything else involved. And you're talking... Southern Command has just come out and said, hey, this is a very dangerous thing on the border. One congressman today turned around and told the border states to call up the National Guard. it's getting tense. And none of this is coming out on ABC, NBC, CBS, or CNN, or MSNBC. And little of it, there is some coming out on Fox, but they're even throwing out cover stories on Channel 5 in California. So, yeah, you're right. It's a big mess, and that's what they want to do, because you conquer and divide and you confuse the enemy, and the biggest part of war is deception, and that's what they're doing. So they're at all-out war right now on the American people with all this deception. That's what it is.
Well, see, Linda, you mentioned a while ago that they might have a couple of years, and Linda, I don't believe we've got that long, and the reason I don't is because they know they're in trouble coming into this election cycle, and they cannot afford to lose the Senate before they pull a lot of this stuff off. So, you know, if they can get the whole federation here confused and worried about all of these things, then they can shift the tide of the way things have been going against them. So I really believe that you know, we're seeing the monetary world. We're watching the, you know, Christine Lagarde come out with her numerology speech, which I sent you the link to. I know you probably haven't had a chance to look at that yet, but please go look at that. And all of this other stuff that Jim's talking about, I think we've got a perfect storm developing is what I think we've got. And with the FATCA that's kicked in and the regulations that they started implementing even before July 1, I've been watching some things that I've been directly involved in, and they didn't wait till July 1 to start slowing things down. I'm getting reports that there's huge wire transfers of monies that are being held up all over the place, particularly between Europe and the United States right now by the IMF. And they're, where it would normally take, say, 3 days, right now it might take a week and a half or 2 weeks. And they're making hay with that, and they're coming at us in so many different directions. We've got to be like they were when they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. We got to have our tools in one hand, our weapons in the other, and our focus on the Creator. That's where we got to be. Linda, I didn't mean to steal what you were saying, but go ahead.
No, but that's right.
14
and
minutes,
and
by the way.
The shield, his shield, our Father's, or our Creator's shield of protection. And you're probably exactly right. We have a very short amount of time, but what we need to do with that is own the fact that we are children of the Most High. We have a power and authority with being members of the kingdom of heaven that no one else has. And if we infect like a virus and insert ourselves into our local governments, I think, and teach people of who they are with the power and authority of the kingdom, the birth pangs that we're experiencing, you know, let's put the death throes aside. Let's look at the birth pangs that we're experiencing. We're experiencing the Luciferian kingdom trying their best to come into their full fruition. However, they don't have the authority and the power that we do as members of the and children of the Most High. So we're witnessing also the birth pangs of the kingdom. That's coming. And our Father's going to return, and he's going to kick butt. And we're here on the battlefield, and we're making it happen. So he's coming to claim his authority. He's coming to claim, and there's not going to be a challenge of his jurisdiction. He's going to claim it, and he's going to kick butt. But that's what we're here for right now. I see the beauty in that. I mean, that's just awesome when you look at it, who we are. And if we all realize that and we infect everybody, like I said, like a virus, and say, look at who we are. You have a power and authority that you don't even have any idea about. Let's get some backbone. Let's infect this country with the kingdom and get people understanding and educating them who we are as members of the kingdom of heaven, an power that can't be thwarted by the Luciferian agenda. And if we own that, there's nothing we can't do. Our king said, look, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. For freely it's been given to you, and freely you shall give it to others. He said, everything that I'm doing, you're even going to do greater. And what are we doing? We're not owning the power and authority of the kingdom, and that is our downfall. Let's infect them like like a virus and show people who we are, and let's take it and own it. That's the birth that we're experiencing on the other hand.
Well, that's pretty powerful stuff.
It is powerful if we disown it. We have to step into that in the full authority, and nothing he promised us, and this is a promise that I stand on, not one hair on my head will be touched. They won't be able to harm me at all. I've had incidents where my life was going to be taken. And did it scare me? No, it didn't scare me at all. In fact, I thought, you know, what I was going through in my head was, you're so stupid, do you know who I am? So can we own that? Absolutely. But the churches have taught people to sit back and do nothing and wait to be raptured. And I would say good luck with that. It's just not going to happen. Will it get so bad where he takes his people, where he takes us to a place of safety? Yeah, but we're not going to go floating up in the clouds. So that is the power. We have to step into that and not believe it. We have to know it. That's how serious it is. That's how powerful it is. We know that we can walk on water and we don't look down. We just simply don't look down. Because we know we can walk on water. It's that easy. So we are not living in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven today, right now, like we're supposed to be.
Linda, I'm going to give Red a couple of minutes here to make his final comments, and then I'm going to give you the last few minutes here to close us out after Red speaks. So you just be thinking about how you'd like to close the show out, okay? Red?
Okay.
Comments at this point?
Well, you know, people need to decide which side they're going to be on. You can be on the side of the people that are causing all of the commotion and the corruption and all of that, or you can be on the side of people that are demanding truth. The prophet Daniel in Daniel 12:4, he said, in the last days knowledge shall increase. And we are seeing that happen right now. Knowledge has to consist of truth. You can believe all the propaganda that they dish out, and you won't. And you can get your PhD whatever, but you would not have knowledge unless you have truth. And we are seeing an explosion of truth worldwide. 133 nations have formed an association. And they have identified the enemy, as I understand it, and this is something that is it's just adding to the confusion at this point. And of course, Satan is the god of confusion, and our God is a God of order. And he's going to bring order. He's going to bring order, and of course the prophecies of Isaiah are going to come true, because Isaiah said it, and he said it hundreds of years before Christ himself came. He said when he comes to set up his kingdom, the government would rest on his shoulders. And that's what we have to be looking forward to, and we have to be anticipating it, and people are going to have to decide which side they're going to be on, the side that is destructive, the side that is so So, I mean, they're the blood of, like I said earlier, 60 million lives were taken in the abortion clinics. You want to be on their side, or do you want to be on God's side? And so Lucifer is the false god of planet Earth, and he's got a day of judgment coming, and I want to be on God's side when this all happens. And it's just it's exciting to be watching. And you see, as I told the U.S. attorney in Montana in 1981 or 82 or 3, I took him out for lunch, and he made a comment, and I said, "You don't have to worry about me. You're going to have to worry about the people that get mad last. They aren't going to know what's happening and what's happening, but they're going to be mad, and they're going to, and you don't want to have to tangle with a few billion people that are angry and mad without knowing what it's all about. And the people that listen to this program tonight should have a little better idea of what's coming, and they've got a, every one of them has got a choice to make. Which side are you going to be on? I know which side I'm going to be on, and I hope everybody out there wants to be on the same side that I want to be on. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Hi, it looks, this is Dr. Kate. I think Terry has lost his internet, so please, if you'd just continue on.
I think he wanted Linda to make a comment and maybe close with prayer. Well, Linda?
Yes.
Well, on the same line that Red had just said is take a side. Remember that our father told us, he said, "I would rather that you were hot or cold than to be lukewarm." He said, "If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." So he would rather that, our Creator would rather that we would serve Him, but if we don't want to, then get on one side or the other, but don't stand on the fence. And, you know, it goes to where he said, we cannot serve two masters. Either we'll hate the one or love the other, or hold fast to the one and despise the other. Well, we've got to get off of that fence, our politicians. Father showed me, a few years ago, you know, I said, why don't our judges get it? And he said, "Look, Linda, they cannot serve two masters. They cannot serve the banks. Our politicians cannot serve the banks, and they cannot serve us. So they're going to serve one or the other." And it's a getting off the fence for our public officials also. So I would just say in wrapping it up, you know, let's continue to work hard educating, resuscitating the body politic. Let's infect them like a virus with the power and authority of the kingdom.
That's a great closing comment. And I just want to say that for those people who believe that you can fight this battle without addressing the spiritual battle that's going on, you're kidding yourself. If you think you're going to get anywhere through the courts, you're kidding yourself. If you think that we're going to battle this in any way without having the Creator go before us and having divine providence involved, you're kidding yourself. I was so glad to see Kurt McKenzie put out a thing in the last week addressing this issue and talking about how the Creator, that's the pecking order. He started talking about the pecking order being attacked, because Red's been talking about that. Was one of the first things Red ever taught me, was to look at the pecking order. And that's really where our focus has to be. We have to understand that we were delegated these rights. We have the right to judge the law. We have the right to hold these public officials accountable. And the more of us that come together and be vocal local and be available and organize in your local community, the more that happens,
the more we'll be able to resist what's going on. And just keep your eyes toward him. We've got to be in communication with his spirit and allow that spirit to fill us and to lead us, because that's the way we'll win this battle. Thank you so much, Linda. Thanks, Doug. Talk to me about your nephew or whoever it is there. We can certainly try to get them on maybe next week. Sorry we didn't have time to do that tonight. But we are out of time, and I think this has been a great show, and I really appreciate you guys all participating tonight. So Jim, Doug, Red, Kate, thank you very much. And we'll be in touch, and see you next week.
Great show.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. It's Dave Radio for Angel Theater Chat. God bless everyone.